Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there, and good morning, everybody. Welcome in to Sports Daily. Glad to have you with us. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here on a Tuesday. And it is a good Tuesday. We had a doubleheader of Monday Night Football last night that we can get through. We also had the World Series. Tickets are punched. Blue Jays fans out there are excited. Mariners fans are devastated. People that had futures bets on Mariners to win the World Series from the beginning of the season are devastated. Like yours truly. But hey, the Blue Jays fans deserve it. It's a great fan base. I have an affinity for them, spending a little time with them on those World Series runs. So good for them. Now we can all come together and hope that they beat the Dodgers, right? But the World Series is set. We've got Monday Night Footballs in the book, and we've got a Chiefs game to get ready for on Monday Night Football. And the bigger story of this week, we've got Sunflower Showdown to get ready for. Voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, is going to join the program. So we'll have that coming for you a little later in the program. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a hot link sandwich, split seared, served on a split top bun, with chips and a drink for only $9. Perfect for lunch. Hot link sandwich now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Jacob Albrock here, TJ Cleland there. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Hello, hello. How late did you make it for the Monday Night Football doubleheader? I'm curious to see if you made it the whole way. Did you?
Absolutely not. No, I didn't. I didn't even.
Me neither.
I don't even think I made it to halftime. So I'm trying to. TJ, I'm in the age where I'm trying to figure some things out. I don't sleep very well typically, so I'm really like trying to fix that. And so I can't, like, it doesn't make any sense for me on a Monday to stay up to midnight to watch a Texans Seahawks game as much as I want to, because I wanted to. So I was out 10:30.
I'm getting old too.
I'm trying my best to figure out why I don't sleep. And so I need this baseline of like consecutive nights on the same deal so I can figure it out. So it's a little harder, you know, not too long ago, like maybe, I don't know, a week ago, I would have been up for that way past anything that made sense. But it didn't have any implications terribly on us or this show and anything like that. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing and I'm going to hit it. But we did have a pretty good game. It looks like there, the first game is the one that I watched all the way through, and it was entertaining. We'll get to it. We'll get into both of the games a little bit later, but you know, we'll dive in. You can dive in at 869-1240. Max has that for you. The hotline ready to roll. You can also leave us comments on anything you saw. Did anybody stay up that late? Did anybody stay up to the Seahawks Texans? It's also not the kind of game that's probably going to motivate us to stay
I'd
up.
I'd say if it was the other way around, people would have stayed up for the other game.
Probably. And maybe that's disrespectful to the Seahawks. And maybe that's something we could talk about, too. You can leave your comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Thanks for watching us there. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening to us right now live on the Odyssey app or in the future on the Odyssey app. If you take that and you podcast this show out, even if you do, you can still leave us voice messages. Just click that microphone and you can get in touch with the program. I love the Monday Night Football when they have two games, but not when they are straight up back to back like that. The stagger start Monday Night Football has grown on me a lot and something I kind of wish they'd do every week. I love it. Of course, they're not going to do it this coming Monday with Chiefs Commanders. They wouldn't do that probably with a Chiefs game because they are the hottest ticket in a broadcast sense these days. But it was good. And we had it, you know, I had it. It was probably good because on the second screen, I had the World Series. And we have a World Series now that I think is pretty compelling. I'm devastated for Mariners fans. Could you imagine last night? I mean, you had the Mariners out in Toronto and then a Monday Night Football game. You've got a crowd full of people watching the Mariners on their phones go down in agony to the Blue Jays. They were leading the entire way until the seventh inning, and George Springer hits a three-run bomb to shatter the dreams of Mariners fans, and they are still not in a war. Are they the only? They're the only, aren't they? They're the only franchise that hasn't made a World Series. Oh, man, that sucks. That really sucks. That's that a sucks. Good, good team with a, yeah, with a magical the... season from it from its hopefully MVP. That's horrible. Yep. And their two best players hit home runs in the game. I mean, my goodness gracious.
That's the one where if it's not going to happen this year, when the hell is it ever going to happen for the Seattle Mariners?
They'll curse. Be good again next year. They'll have everybody back as far as I know. I don't know. Suarez will be the one piece that they added that made such a big impact. They'll have to figure out, but like they should be back. Their young pitching is there. You know, the dumper and Julio Rodriguez aren't going anywhere, but that's brutal. I've been there. Look, we've all been there. Royals fans were there to, you know, one step, but 2014, when you lose a game seven in the World Series, at least they got there. The Rangers for me, they made it back to back years. And of course, game seven in 2011 will be etched into my memory in a bad way forever against the Cardinals. So, you know, for Mariners fans, you got to just hope they can jump right back into it and get there again. That's a lifetime. That sucks. And for Blue Jays fans, it's been a lifetime too, more than 30 years. I remember when I was, I was 34 years, right? I think I was in kindergarten. I'm pretty sure I was in kindergarten when they played the Braves. And I went to a friend's house and his whole family were Braves fans. And I know this will stun you, but I like to stir the pot a little bit sometimes. And even at 5 or 6 years old, I remember, I was like, man, their whole family's going for the Braves. I'm going to go for the Blue Jays. And so I did. And it was the reason I didn't stay like a Blue Jays fan, but it did make me dislike the Braves for most of my life. Like, I've never liked the Braves since then. But it was because of the Blue Jays, and I chose to go for the Blue Jays, and they won that World Series, and it was great, and I could gloat to this poor family who really wanted to see their Braves win the World Series. But, you know, it's a cool franchise. They were awesome. I was there in 2015 with the Royals. Was that the CS or the DS, whatever it was. CS. I was there with them, and that, man, I had so much fun in Toronto. I had so much fun with those fans. It was a blast. Like, I met people that randomly stayed in touch with for several years after that. Just like man on the street fans who, I remember one guy at our hotel bar was down there. We had like the off day, I think it was on a Sunday, and they had the games on. I was like, okay, I want to get somewhere where I can watch these games. And he's betting games. I'm like, how do you bet in games? They're like, oh, we have a kiosk right over there. You can just go over there and bet the games. And we sat there and watched football all day. And like, it was so much fun. Their media was fun. It was a cool stadium. It was great atmosphere. I'm happy for them. It's a cool, underrated baseball town. And they're going to go ballistic. And we'll see if we can all take down the Dodgers here
and try to prevent LA from doing the thing that no baseball team's done since the Yankees way back when, and that's go back to back. The Blue Jays are our best shot. They seem like tremendous underdogs.
They do. That was the conversation that I figured we were going to have later in the show, is if they have enough power to get it done. While we're talking about the baseball town before the end of the break here, my parents said that it's the best stadium in Major League Baseball, top five.
Rogers?
Yes.
It was awesome. I mean, I got it once with the roof open, once with the roof closed, I believe. It was fantastic. I think that the people made it as fun as the stadium itself. I was up in a press box, so it's hard. It's hard for me to say that. But the outside the stadium was fantastic. Let me think about that, because I've been to a bunch of them. We'll come back. Sports Daily's just getting started here. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome you back in. Joining us now, voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, as we get ready for the big one, the Sunflower Showdown. As K-State gets ready to head down to Lawrence as underdogs for what has to be the first time in
2009
was the last time. Yeah. So we're looking at 15 years. That's what I was going to guess. Wyatt, we get the news yesterday. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Are you
bright-eyed and bushy-tailed? There's a doubleheader of Monday Night Football, and we had Game 7 of the ALCS. Did you stay up too late?
Yeah, it's a busy time, isn't it? We were off this past weekend, so I kind of did what I did on that first bye week. I watched football basically all day long from 11 to about 11:15 at night. So ready to get back at it this week. We've got the basketball game in Columbia, Missouri Friday, and Sunflower Showdown on Saturday. So
9 p.m. on Friday. It's going to be a late night on Friday.
Yeah, it will be. 9 o'clock game. We'll hit the air at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to it on a lot of different levels. Mizzou's, I think, going to have a pretty good team. They've got like 7 returners from a 22-win team. K-State's basically got a brand new team. 4 returners is all they have. And but I'm so excited to see, you know, kind of what they are now, but also what they could be 2 weeks from now, a month from now, and so on, just because I think they've got some interesting pieces, probably headlined by PJ Haggerty. He can really play, guys, and looking forward to this.
Now, this is, we can start with basketball. This is not some exhibition either, right? This is a game that counts.
Well, I don't know that it, I think it's an exhibition, actually.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that they put together that it's done for television, though.
But it's not a scrimmage like the scrimmages. It's an actual game.
Correct. Yeah. It'll be played as a game.
Okay.
All the media timeouts and all of that kind of stuff, and like the regular rules and all of that. My understanding is they'll come back to Bramlage a year from now. So it should be fun to see how it goes. We'll have this one, and then a week from Friday, Newman at our place, and then start November 4th against North Carolina Greensboro.
Okay.
There you go, Wyatt. Watch out for those Jets coming into Bramlage. It's my alma mater.
Yeah.
Coming to raise some hell in Manhattan, Kansas. PJ Haggerty, first team, all Big 12. You know, I'm not sure in the past how many, you know, when the last first teamer was and everything like that. It tells you the kind of talent that he is coming out of the American Conference as we get ready for Big 12 Media Days and tomorrow to talk about this team. But PJ Haggerty is going to be the headline.
He will be. Really good scorer. 21.7 points a game last year. He's basically been described as one of the top 10 transfer portal guys in major college basketball for this season. When you watch him, he's really, really smooth. I don't know that I would have a lot of coaches describe him as just a brilliant shooter, but he is a scorer, no doubt. He can score, and not that I'm not saying he can't shoot it in any way. But, you know, I think he is just a well-rounded offensive basketball player, and he just, you know, kind of gets his. What I'm excited about is the ability to have him in that lineup, but also some of the other guys that I think are, you know, pretty solid too. I really like Andre Kostic, and I think I like Nate Johnson, Abdi Bashir. I mean, you can kind of go on there. This will be an interesting start. And I, you know, most people are picking K-State around that 8, 9, 10 spot in the league, and that's okay. I think that's probably better when the, you know, the expectations might be a little bit lower, and the league's going to be hard. I mean, I saw one where TCU was 10th right behind K-State. If they're the 10th best team in the league, I think it says a lot about the 12.
Yeah, just up really quick, Jacob. On Friday night, that scrimmage, do you know, is Tang going to go with like a scripted lineups type of thing to see different groups together, or is he going to roll out a 5 and play it like a game? How do you know? How's he going to handle that?
I'm not totally sure yet. I'll probably find that out today or tomorrow. Of course, they go to Kansas City tomorrow, so it may even be as late as Thursday. But I'm not sure how to answer that because I really don't know yet.
Yeah, there you go. I'll see him tomorrow. I'll ask him.
Well, and that's, I was going to ask you about the getting picked. I think it was 9th in the official poll. That's a tournament team. I mean, 8, you know, we're right in that fringe area. I actually thought that might be a pretty good spot to see them because if nothing else, it tells me what's below them. And if, you know, maybe there are other teams with even more questions than K-State, but I don't mind the middle of the pack. The middle of the pack in the Big 12 is probably going to be in the Big 12 in the NCAA tournament. Which, if we have to pick expectations at 7:22 in the morning on October 21st, isn't just making the NCAA tournament the where you start with everything for K-State right now?
No question about it. And I think the players will tell you that. I think the coaches will tell you that. I think they. Now, once you start playing and depending on how things go, you know, sometimes you can waver off that a little bit. I mean, you know, I always think back to that first year with Coach Tang when you had Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel. And We were doing fine early on. And then in early January, if you remember, we went to Texas and won and went to Baylor and won. And all of a sudden, boom, a different level of expectations after that. So who knows how it'll play. But I'm excited to get going with these guys because, again, I stress this a lot. I think having Coach Driscoll involved and with the offense is going to really make a difference. I think this team has really done a good job of getting to know each other and working through some things. But you got to get through some games too, right? I mean, you just do. That's what these first couple are for. So I've heard a lot of people and say on different shows that the results don't matter. Well, they kind of do. But I don't know that it's life or death if you lose a scrimmage at this particular point. It's more about finding out, you know, what you are, who you are, and what you need to do before November 4th.
Yeah, Wyatt, we'll switch gears to football. As we said, Sunflower Showdown on Saturday. Got a piece of news yesterday, a few pieces of news, as Coach Klieman did his weekly press conference. But the one that's going to get the most headlines is he said, basically, don't expect Dylan to play, but if he does, that's the gravy. So it's lingering on, this ankle thing still happening. So, what's it going to look like if he can't go? Is it going to be a big Joe Johnson game or Joe Jackson game? What do you expect on that front?
Well, if he does not go, and that's significant, I think we all understand that, but we've played this record before, right? I mean, he hasn't been healthy, but really for one full game all year long. And in that game, he had 166 rushing yards. It's been really frustrating for him, I think, for the coaching staff, for everybody, fan base, whatever you want to say. But I do know that in visiting with some of the guys that they feel pretty confident that they have improved in the last 3 weeks, where they've gone 2-1 with that one loss at Baylor, in which they led 31-17 in the fourth quarter and let it get away. And the difference is they're running the football better. And getting a little bit more movement. It isn't perfect yet, but it's definitely better. And I think that'll be a real key in this game. Can Kansas State run? KU's been a little bit susceptible to the run, probably more than a little bit against a Texas Tech and Lubbock as an example. But, hey, Texas Tech is what they are. And but I do think they – I mean, I looked at the numbers. First four games, they're averaging, you know, just a little over 100 yards a game. And in the last three, it's – popping it at about 190. That's a pretty big difference. We'll see if it plays out this week. And there's so much to this game, I think, maybe more than ever before. People have asked about, is this is the first real threat? Well, not really. K-State's had a couple of close ones against KU in the last 2 years, and I think this one will be too, frankly. You got them over there. You got the long streak on the line, and I don't know how you guys look at that. I think there's pressure on K-State to keep the streak going.
Sure,
but I think there's pressure on KU to end the streak because they're at home.
KU's
favored with that or no?
KU's favored in the game. KU's favored in the game. I like the Dylan Edwards thing is excruciating for K-State fans because look at Kansas, I think the way to attack them is on the ground. Kansas can throw the ball because they have Jalen Daniels. So not only do they have a defense that's been a little susceptible to the run, but it helps you on the flip side to keep them off the field. Not knowing he's there is a big deal for KU's chances to break the streak, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means maybe Avery becomes more of a threat on the ground to try to accomplish the same thing or what, but K-State's going to have to run the ball.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I have said for the last several days that I think that's one of the biggest keys to the game. And there are, you know, a multitude of keys like always, but you laid that out there perfectly, in all honesty, because you do keep number six on the sideline, and he is a dynamic player. When he is playing at optimum level, they are really difficult to defend. I mean, they just are. Are they as good offensively as they were a year ago without those three receivers and Devin Neal? Well, maybe not, but I don't know that they're that far behind either. He's playing really well. And he just extends plays. The thing that concerns me, and people talk about Avery not running or whatever, they're not necessarily running Jalen a ton, but when he has to run, I mean, how much option will K-State and KU see Saturday? We don't know the answer to that, but we haven't seen a lot from either team so far. But it is a major weapon for both if they so choose to use it.
Yeah. K-State, the defense, you know, obviously had the big game this last week against TCU, but, you know, earlier in the season, it had its woes of, you know, getting off the field, everything that we saw in those non-conference games and everything like that. Whenever you look at this one before the TCU game, but even still a little bit, you know, KU's defense has given up 500 yards on multiple occasions, and K-State's defense has had its woes. In that same breath, is K-State's offense good enough to, or stagnant enough to win in a shootout? Can they put up that many points?
Well, that is a really good question. And I think it kind of depends on just the lay of the land. And what I mean by that is let's say for a moment you don't have Dylan Edwards, okay? We won a ball game against TCU, who's a pretty good team, without him. I think K-State could win this game without him. Would you rather have him? Of course. But if you don't, here's the deal. Avery's got to probably run it a little bit more. He's got to have a good throwing game, and they need to protect him. Joe Jackson has to play well, probably Devon Rice too. And those other guys, I'm really excited as an example to have Bradley back. I mean, he can help when he's out there with, you know, those other guys. It makes a difference. You could tell it against TCU. So it's good to have him back. Tibbs is starting to play at a little bit better level too. Garrett Oakley's been good. I mean, you've got pieces. And I think this is a team that feels like they are starting to find themselves, if you will. And if that is so, I think game on. I'm looking forward to it.
What about on the flip side, on the defensive side? Jalen Daniels is playing as good as he's ever played. He's looking as good as he's ever looked. Is it, to me, it's kind of a chunk play thing. Can you limit their chunk plays? Can you keep them from Emmanuel Henderson getting over the top of you? If you're going to do it on K-State defensively, what have you looked at on that side of the ball?
There's another fabulous point, because think about what he has brought to the table for Kansas in terms of the shot plays, whether it's in the return game or in the receiving game. And you go back to even the TCU game. I mean, K-State gave up a couple of large plays in the fourth quarter against a pretty good receiver in McAllister, but I don't know that he's better than Emmanuel Henderson. I mean, he's 6'1", 190, 195, and can really go get it, right? Good catch radius. He'll be a tough challenge, no question. So there's all of that on the table. Again, I don't want to put it all on Jalen, but, you know, they go as he goes. And K-State kind of goes as Avery goes. So I think this is a situation where I'm thinking that they're going to want to run the ball too. If they run the ball with the way they can, you know, use him in a multitude of ways, that they're a real challenge. I guess what I'm trying to say is that one of these defenses is going to step up and probably be a little bit better than the other team. I don't know if you think that is accurate or not, but if that happens, I think there's your separator, or at least the potential to be a separator.
Well, dare I say, one of these teams is going to score more points than the other team as well. It's how we're going to figure out a winner in this thing. I saw yesterday our guy D. Scott Fritchin said that there's TNT cameras in the building. They're doing a little mini documentary ahead of the game on Saturday morning. What do you know about that? Have you seen any cameras?
Oh, I have. It wasn't just at the press conference, but that's when all of the media noticed, because, you know, normally there's, you know, 15, 20 guys in there and gals, and they, you know, they sit there and they ask questions of Coach Klieman. But when he walked in yesterday with Kenny Lanou, one of our media relations people, there were probably, I'm going to say at minimum, there were probably 6 or 8 TNT people, and a couple of 2 or 3 of them had cameras, and Coach was mic'd up for them, and they've been following him around. I mean, you want to talk about total access, they've kind of gotten it. And that's kind of what they've been doing. My understanding is they did KU earlier in the year and wanted to do K-State to feature them in this game. And so, yeah, they've got pretty good access there. And I know they were at practice last night and that kind of stuff. So it's fun to have that to a degree, because, you know, it's really good exposure. And I'm anxious for this one on so many levels. And I know with the off week, don't you think it seems to me like it's been forever since either team has played a game. And by the time we get to Saturday, it's going to be forever plus, I think.
It's true. Are you going to be in the mini doc? Do they talk to you?
I don't know that I haven't Come heard on. Anything from them about that. Not saying that it couldn't happen, but
they got 3 days to figure it out.
Well, there you go. But I think they could probably live with or without me. But it's really cool. I think Coach Klieman, you know how he is. I mean, all coaches are what they are. They do media because it's kind of you have to
required.
Do it or whatever. But this one is a little different. To be honest, it isn't just the standard, you know, question answer thing. This is kind of a cool behind the scenes look. I'm anxious to see what it looks like.
It's the early kick, 11 a.m. on TNT. I believe our coverage here on KFH begins at 9 o'clock.
Correct. Yeah. So looking forward to it. I've got plans to interview a couple of young people that have, well, in all honesty, have been with our program for a while, but you know, Taylor Portier is from Bishop Miege in Kansas City. He's a twin. He and his brother grew up dreaming of playing basketball at Kansas. But as he jokingly said yesterday, there aren't too many 6'3 centers at KU in basketball. And then Jet Dineen, I think I'm going to try to visit with Jet. He was at Lawrence Free State and a big KU family until those last boys came along. He and Jax have played here, and I think it's a really cool thing to – I always enjoy asking the guys what it means to be a Kansas player to play in this thing, because it is special for those guys. You can see it. You can sense it. You can feel it. KU's gotten better. This should be really, really fun for the people of the Sunflower State, I think.
We agree. By the way, not a lot of 6'3 wings at Kansas either, I don't think, let alone center.
How about Christian Brown's money, huh?
God, 5 years, $125 million.
Wow. Who would have thought, huh?
Good work if you can find it. Good work if you can find it.
You know what? He deserves it, man. He's been great.
Yeah, he does. What a great story he's been. Yeah. All right, Wyatt, we look forward to the call Saturday morning with you guys. K-State goes into Lawrence as an underdog. A little unfamiliar territory there for the Cats.
No doubt. But looking forward to it. Here we go. Let's see if we can get 17 in a row. That's a good ring to it.
All right. So we get the World Series set. We'll push Monday Night Football talk to the next hour. But let's talk World Series here. You asked if Rogers Center was a top five stadium. It's awesome. I believe it was the original retractable roof, wasn't it? Like it was the Sky Dome, I think was.
It's pretty old.
It's got like a hotel attached to it. The fanfare around the ballpark when I was there in 2015 was incredible. It's just, I think as much as Rogers Center's awesome, and it was, it's that like Toronto's kind of awesome as a town. I always tell people it was like a really clean and polite New York City is what it reminded me of. It's massive. It's huge. But, you know, you've got different named coffee shops. They eat ketchup potato chips, which is really good, by the way. I don't know how that's not become a thing. Our favorite condiment. We put everything else on a chip. How do we not have ketchup chips here? But they're good. And it was, the people there were great. I was excited when Grady Dick got drafted up there. I thought, man, that'll be a fun place to, you know, start an NBA career. Obviously, we've had the Fred VanVleet there connection there for a long time. But now we see him go try to take down the Dodgers. And man, it feels like, especially for that team where the bullpen's kind of struggled, that it is a monumental task for them. The Dodgers will be favored for sure. And who knows? You've got, you know, what we're the Blue Jays in their best odds are the Blue Jays in 7 at 5.5 to 1. That's the best you can get them. You can get them minus 1.5 games. So basically they'd win it by, you know, 4-2 or whatever, plus 320. But the Dodgers odds, you can't get any Dodgers win right now is not plus money. So they're pretty heavy favorites here.
Yeah, that's the first thing you think about whenever you see them. Well, I think let's play the hypothetical game here, because that's what we do on the radio. If it was the Mariners, did the Mariners have enough firepower to do it?
I think so. I think they were probably
had Mariners
a little,
lineup's pretty nuts.
It's not just the lineup, because I think the Blue Jays up and down are probably as good. It's the starting rotation for the Mariners is great, and the bullpen's been fantastic down the stretch. So it to me, it was more about the pitching than the hitting, because nobody's probably going to out hit straight up man for man the Dodgers. The good news for the Blue Jays is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is playing out of his mind. They do have, as much as Mariners fans and maybe baseball fans don't like him, George Springer, who's been super clutch in the postseason over the years. So they've got some, you know, they've got some dudes there, and they have a couple of starters that you like, but they feel like big underdogs. But that's the beauty of baseball, right? Like, how much of an underdog is anybody ever in a series in baseball? It's, you know, there's always a chance, more than any other sport by far. There's a chance for baseball teams to pull upsets like that.
Yeah, it's true. That's the beauty of the Royals World Series runs. The Royals probably in 2014, they probably weren't favored in any series that they were in. 2015 is a different story. And so that's what's awesome about baseball series. That when you get to these playoff times, that weird things happen. I mean, the Blue Jays had a better regular season, but I don't imagine the Blue Jays were favored in the series against the Mariners, were they?
I don't know. I don't know. I know they weren't favored in like all the games or anything. So the Dodgers just to win the World Series are -210. The Blue Jays +175. So that's probably a little more even than I thought, to be perfectly honest. But I love the Blue Jays. I got a soft spot for them. I think they're great. I think it's a really cool city. I think it's a really cool fan base. I think they go nuts for them. I laughed hysterically when at the game they played a Justin Bieber song and everybody cheered, and then they played a Nickelback song and everybody booed. And I'm like, poor Nickelback. Not even in Canada can you get I just watched the John Candy documentary. He was a big Toronto guy, a big Canada guy. Let's go Blue Jays. Let's get this done. We can't let the Dodgers.
We're about to see the classic map every single time it gets to this point of the year where it's like, who's rooting for the Dodgers versus who's rooting for the Blue Jays. And it's just,
it won't be many.
That's the craziest part, is that it's not like in the NHL, it has that animosity towards the Canada teams and stuff like that. Like, it's hilarious that everybody in the United States outside of Southern California will probably be rooting for the Blue Jays.
Well, the Dodgers have nationwide appeal for sure. But yes, the vast majority, like if you're not a Dodgers fan, you're going for the Blue Jays, unless maybe you're an AL East fan that has that built in hatred. Which is fine. Like if the Dodgers were playing the Astros, I'd be going for the Dodgers, right? Like, so there's probably a little bit of that. And then that's it. But it's a team that hadn't been there in a long time. That's the thing. Like, you feel heartbroken for Seattle, who's never been to the World Series. It's a generation for Blue Jays fans. I mean, come on, 32 years. Like that's a lifetime for a lot of their fans. So
is that Joe Carter? Was that year?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so. So it was, it was that can, I'll always remember that. That was one of the first things people told me. And I'm like, really? Joe Carter? That's wild. I would have never thought that. But it's a cool connection there too, if you're looking for a reason. But you don't have to look that hard for a reason. You just don't want to see the Dodgers go back to back.
Correct. This brings up the second point here is, and the Dodgers are aware of it. You see the comments that Dave Roberts made while he had the microphone on the field about ruining baseball. There's a whole big joke.
I didn't see his comments. I've heard the conversations. The Dodgers haven't ruined baseball, by the way.
Everybody. So they're talking about the collective bargaining agreement ends in 2027. And every time that the Dodgers hit a home run in the playoffs, somebody posts the highlight and says, yeah, we're getting a lockout in 2027. Lockout's coming. Salary cap's on its way. We're having a lockout. And so they won that series, and he took the mic and he said, everybody says that the Dodgers are ruining baseball. Well, let's win four more games and really ruin baseball.
Yeah. The Dodgers are not ruining baseball.
But that brings up the conversation, though. Like, this is a big market team that basically just drops a boatload of cash.
Toronto's a big market team. Toronto spends money every year. The problem with baseball is not the Dodgers. The problem with baseball is the Marlins. The problem with baseball is the ownership groups that refuse to spend money. That's the problem with baseball. I would much rather see a salary floor than a salary cap in baseball. I think the luxury tax is an interesting way and in a thoughtful way to try to go about it. But a salary cap, literally no side of the bargaining table wants a salary cap. I don't understand. I mean, Rob Manfred brought it up this year, and maybe Major League Baseball would prefer it. And Bryce Harper, you know, famously tried to fight him or whatever. But it the players don't want it. The owners don't want it. That's who's bargaining. Nobody cares what Rob Manfred thinks. What owner wants a salary cap? Salary cap?
If I was the Royals owner, I'd want a salary cap.
Why?
Can look at the Chiefs. If there wasn't a salary cap in football, the Chiefs would have no chance of doing what they're doing.
They don't want a salary cap because there's not, like, if there was a salary cap, there would be more pressure on the small market teams to spend more money and get closer to the cap. So they may, I don't know what they would say publicly, but if I was the Pirates or the Marlins, I would be terrified of a salary cap because it probably means there's going to be a salary floor. And they don't want that. So they're not going to vote for it. I would imagine there's not a vote anywhere at the table for a salary cap. Just, the players don't want insane. It. Why would you want it though? Like, I'm not saying it shouldn't be there. It should be there. And baseball is unique from the other sports too, because it is more regionalized than the NFL per se, or the NBA. And that it just is. It's a more regionalized sport, but you get 162 games, right? So yeah. It's not that outrageous that a team like the Dodgers, who over 162 games are going to command the market the way that they do versus Kansas City, look, of course they're going to spend more money. Like they're in that larger market generating the money over 162 games. If you put a salary cap in, what you're going to get is the Dodgers and their ownership group making a whole bunch more money. I want them to spend all their money. What I want is a salary floor that makes the small market teams that just sit on their piles of cash and go Uncle Scrooge on it to have to spend at least some money, right? And that's the thing. Like, there is a huge difference in the top of Major League Baseball and the bottom as far as players. If you want to talk about outrageous salaries, look in the NBA. No offense to Christian Brown. I think he's awesome. He's about to make $25 million a year to be a role player. And that's great. I'm happy for him. But like, people act like every Major League Baseball player is getting paid all this money. They're not. They sit through arbitration for years and years and years. Like, baseball has done all of these things. If you are a star, yes, you will get paid. But otherwise, it's a grind, man. It takes forever to get there. It takes forever to hit free agency. It is not like baseball is not where everybody's getting rich. It's not. The NBA is where everybody's getting rich. If you secure your spot in the league in the NBA, you're set forever.
Yeah, but I feel like that kind of feeds right into the argument about the fact of, like, these guys, like a Denny Pasquantino, we'll say him. He hasn't hit free agency yet. You know, he sits, like you said, he's going to grind through this and wait till he gets to his free agency and then maybe have to try to avoid arbitration. But if he doesn't, he's gonna have to sit through arbitration years. And then he finally gets to be a free agent. And then it's like, all right, now I'm going to get paid. And then it's like, well, Royals don't want to pay you. Yankees do. Here's, you know, blank check. Here you go. Like, they can just do that.
What in recent memory would make you think that the Royals wouldn't pay him? Is it the Bobby Witt Jr. contract, the Michael Walker contract, the Seth Lugo contract? Okay. They're winning, so they're spending money.
Paul Skeens. We'll say Paul Skeens. The Pirates weren't
going to pay. That's a Pirate. That's not a baseball problem. That's a Pirates problem.
Okay, even if the Pirates – we'll say this. Even if the Pirates wanted to pay him and wrote the biggest contract – even
they could pay him.
We'll say the Bobby Witt Jr. deal. Like, the Royals – which is, it's an extension, not a free agency thing, but whatever. We'll go with Alex Gordon's deal. They paid Alex Gordon all that money. Like, the Yankees could have come in and just said, hey, here's $50 million more dollars.
Do you know why the Yankees didn't do that?
Well, because he was, you know, back in
the it would have been a bad contract. It was a bad contract for the Royals.
It's true.
Let's continue the conversation on the other side.
I'll find examples.
Okay, find me some on the other side. We'll keep it going here. Sports Daily, another hour coming your way. No problem.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why it's not, outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.